Nothing is impossible with God. It's part of what we celebrate in this Christmas message. And I'm excited today as we get to look at the announcement of the angel who said the impossible to some shepherds who thought life could never change, that there was great, that there was good news of great joy. And we're going to be sharing on that today. And it's going to lead us at the end to a prayer of love that God wants each of us to pray this morning. I do want to make sure I say hello to all of our online viewers. We got our church family across the country now. Blessed that you're with us. We're praying for you as you're part of this time. It's so great, again, to have the kids with us. Boys and girls, with what you got, there are special kids' sermon notes. And the slides will be numbered. And the boys and girls today, they have about 10 words that they're supposed to find on the slides, that if they fill it all out and they show which slide that word is on, that they've got a free candy cane waiting for them in the foyer after service. Amen? Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm sure if you get one or two, they'll give you a candy cane anyway, so it'll be good. But boys and girls, you'll see right on this corner of the screen will be the slide numbers. So when you find that word, you can put it down. We're excited that you're here. Moms and dads, we're thrilled to have the boys and girls in with us. If they get a little too restless, just know that out those doors, there's our cafe area. The service is being shown on the TV screen there, and the kids can walk around and stuff and still hear the message. So feel free to use that so you don't have to stress out during this time. Well, we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and these are words that most of us are pretty familiar with. But I want to encourage you today, even though you're familiar with these words, to let them kind of really think about what's being said as we look at the announcement of the angel to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, this is what is said. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, Christmas is this declaration that we have good news. Now, because we've all done Christmas for so long, we tend to hear a scripture go, yeah. But I want you to stop and think today, why did the angel call the birth of Jesus not just good, but why did he call it news when there's so many other ways he could say it? You know, I don't think today that we know what news is anymore. Today, news is a person's opinion or a rumor or anything that will get you to buy a paper or look at a screen. But real news is this. News is the reporting of reality. It's actual events. It's facts not previously known. It's newly received information, especially about important events. And the angel, when it talked about the birth of Jesus, said, "I've got good news for you." Now, here's the easiest way to remember what news is. When I was 5 years old, my family moved into their house in Long Island, New York, where I grew up. Do I have any five-year-olds in the crowd? Any five-year-olds here this morning? Okay, we got a few. All right, when I was 5 years old, my best friend lived across the street from me, and his name was, and I'm not making this up, his name was Archie Cassino. All right, that was my best friend growing up, Archie Cassino. I definitely lived up north. All right, and when I was 5 years old, we just moved into our house. It was this first summer together, and Archie and I were bored. So we went to the side of my house, and there we found a bucket of driveway sealer, which we opened up, got some sticks, and painted the side of my mom and dad's brand new house with driveway sealer. Well, now, mom didn't know what was happening, but Loretta Cassino, which is Archie's mom, who's across the street, saw it and called my mom up with some facts she did not know. At that moment, my mom got some newly received information about a very important event that was happening to her house. And in that moment, my mom came out, and literally, I remember this today, My mom was so mad, she literally spanked me up 2 flights of stairs. Like, I never used my feet to get to my bedroom. She spanked me all the way up. And the reason she did that was because it was news. It was report. She got a report of what was really happening right next to her. And when the angel says, I have good news for you, he's saying, I've got an actual event that's happening. I've got something you don't know about that's good for you. And so what we need to do is we need to remember that when the angel announced the birth of Jesus, which is what Christmas is all about, that it was not announced as, the angel didn't come and say, I've got a good idea of great joy for you today. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I have a good feeling for you of great joy today. He didn't say, I have a good philosophy for you of great joy. No, you see, he said, I've got good news for you. I've got something that's actually happened that right now that you don't know about, but is so important, it's going to change your life. And that's important to remember because most of us during Christmas see a world that wants to make Christmas like a good idea. Christmas is a good idea. I mean, hope, that's a good idea, all right? People want to make Christmas about a good feeling. That's why, little confession time, how many of you have already seen a Christmas Hallmark movie? All right, let's just be honest, all right? Don't you love those surprise endings? Yeah, no. It's like, I'm so shocked they got together. That's amazing. Christmas, and those are fine, but it kind of, the world treats Christmas like it's a good feeling. And no matter how many Pentatonix new Christmas songs come out, Christmas is more than a good feeling. And then, you know, there's a bunch of people in the world that want to treat Christmas like a good philosophy. You know, peace on earth. That's a good idea. Maybe Christmas is this one time when we all start thinking about there should be peace on earth. Or maybe, you know, the story about wise men following Jesus. Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe all of us need some wisdom. But we need to remember that all the world treats Christmas like a good idea, like a good philosophy, like a good feeling. It's actually good news. It actually happened. That's why in the Gospel of Luke, Luke always uses language about news and reports. He mentions that it was during the decree in the time of Caesar Augustus. You can go to history books and find that date. It's the first registration of Quirinius, who is the governor of Syria. Boys and girls, there's a word in there that you got to fill out right there. That's news. That really happened. And not only did it really happen, but it actually had a time period. You can go and look on Wikipedia and find out when King Herod was born and when he died, because this is when it happened. It's news. It's the reporting of reality. And not only do we have things about the government, but we even have a genealogy that goes back over 20 generations. Because in Luke 3, when it talks about who Jesus was, and I love how it says, yeah, everybody thought that Joseph was his dad, but really, he starts to go into the genealogy of Joseph. And boys and girls, there's another name in there for you need on your sheet. That it actually happened. That the Christmas story is not an idea, and it's not a feeling, and it's not a philosophy. It's good what? News. And that's really important because you need to know that when we talk about Christmas, we don't start the Christmas story with once upon a time. That's not the Christmas story. But we're tempted to treat it that way, that once upon a time, there was this child. No, no, no. Jesus was born in history with a purpose at a time. Legends and myths, they start off with once upon a time. Like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Yeah, Star Wars starts out like that, but not Christmas. Every Disney movie, every fairy tale, that starts out with once upon a time. But that's not how the Christmas story starts out. The Christmas story tells you exactly when it happened, who was there. It was news, not an idea. And that really brings us to an important decision that you and I have to make. If the Christmas story isn't once upon a time, if it actually happened, then we've got to decide something about Christianity and the whole story of Christmas. Is it good advice or is it good news? Because there's a big difference. You see, if Jesus and the story of his birth is just once upon a time, then Jesus is just a metaphor. He's just the moral of a story, like Aesop's fable. And what you should do is just think about the advice that you're getting from the story. But if it's good news, then that's something totally different. You do something different with good news than you do with good advice. I want you to think about the difference. Advice tells you what you must do. You ever go to somebody to help them fix something and you're really hoping they'll help you fix it and all they do is give you advice about it and you're like, I'm coming to you because I can't do it. See, advice tells you what you must do, but news tells you about something that has been done already. Advice urges you, you should make something happen. You should stop doing this. You should change that. You should start focusing on this. Advice says you should make something happen, but news urges you to what? See what has happened. Advice focuses on you. You should act. You should save yourself. You should do this. But news focuses on someone else, that they've already acted, that they've already saved you, that it's already done. The difference between advice and news is gigantic. And Christmas and the story of Jesus' birth is not good advice. It's good news. It's news that you and I need to not do something with. It's news that you and I need to believe. You know, it's interesting if you think about what good news is. Good news doesn't make you do something. It usually makes you not do something. You know, I remember a few years ago in Chesterfield County, high schoolers didn't have midterms till the middle of January. How many high schoolers just took midterms? Raise your hand. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Recover. Gain sanity back. Remember your name once again. Okay. Now, way back in the day, Chesterfield County used to have their midterms in the middle of January. And there was one year where it snowed when midterms were supposed to happen. And it snowed so bad that they had school canceled like 5 days in a row. And then guess what happened? All the students got good news of great joy. They canceled midterms. Hallelujah. They canceled them. Literally, there was singing in the streets when that happened. And when I was youth pastor then, when all the students got the good news, guess what they did? They didn't say, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. You know what they thought about? They thought about all the things they didn't have to do anymore. I don't have to take the test. I don't have to get ready for it. I don't have to worry about it. I could just enjoy life. You see, when good news comes, it helps you think about what you don't have to do instead of acting like advice with all the stuff you do have to do. And the Bible says that when Jesus came, he came with good news, that we didn't have to save ourselves anymore, that we didn't have to spend our life building a defense to protect ourselves and control everything, that we didn't have to act in fear about the future. You see, back in Roman and Greek times, what would happen is if an invading army was coming towards your town, if a king maybe helped you, maybe he would send you a military advisor, someone to tell you, earthworks here, trenches there, archery up top, swords below. It would give you advice on how to save yourself. But if a king loved the town and didn't want to give up any of his property, what do? He'd send an army. An army would go face the enemy before it ever reached the town. And then that town didn't need an advisor anymore. It needed a messenger. A matter of fact, the word messenger in the Greek is spelled A-N-G-E-L-O-S. You see, an angel, a messenger would come, and the messenger wouldn't say, I've got advice for you. What would he say? I've got good news of great joy. You're saved. You don't have to save yourself. You don't have to figure out how you're going to defeat the enemy. I've already done it. And that is what Christianity is about. And sometimes churches make Christianity to be good advice, but it's really good news. Does the news affect your life? Sure it does. But it's not about advice. You see, every major religion says one thing. Its founder says, here's what you should do to go to heaven. But Christianity says, the source and the founder of Christianity says, I've come down and done it for you. That's why Christianity is like unlike any other religion there is. Every other religion, their founder is giving you advice. This is what you need to do to go to heaven. Christianity, God himself comes down and says, I have made a way for you to come to heaven. Nothing you could ever do would get there. Nothing you could ever do would make up what is stained and broken in your life. You don't need to do something. I've done something for you. That's good news of great joy. That's what Christianity is. It's an announcement, not advice. And what you and I need to do with that is to remember that our faith is not in what we can do, it's in what Jesus has done for us. Even Jesus himself in Mark 10:45 reminded us, for even the Son of Man came, he was born not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came not for us to do something for him, but for him to do something for us. Now, I was reading this, and just yesterday, I was reading this Advent devotional for John Piper, and he quoted this very verse. And I want to read you what he said. He says, talking about it, the difference between news and advice, he says this. He says, if the primarily about what to do and what it would cost, that would not be good news. There would be no gospel. The word gospel is just the word for good news. And then he says this, I need more than for someone to tell me what I should do and what I should be. I need help to be and to do it. That is why Jesus said in Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. What a horrendous mistake we make when we think Christianity is about first and foremost serving God, when it's really about being served by God. Don't miss this. This is the heart of Christianity. This is what sets our faith from all other major religions. Our God does not need our service, nor is he glorified by recruits who want to help him out. Our God is so full and so self-sufficient and so overflowing in power and life and joy that he glorifies himself by serving us. He does this by taking on humanity and seeking us out, and then telling us that he did not come to get our service, but he came to be our servant. Here is the great truth for you to ponder and then believe. Every time Jesus commands something for us to do, it is his way of telling us how he wants to serve us. Isn't that good? You know what? Because when God says be holy, we can't be it. So when he commands us to be it, he's leading us to a moment to say, God, can you do something for me? And say, yes, I'm here to serve you and make you holy. When God says have peace, when God says love and not hate, bless and not curse, we can't do that in our own heart, in our own mind, in our own goodness. But what we can do is we can let God serve us through the gift of his Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we can do the very thing he's commanded us to do. John 15, 5 says what? He's the vine, we're the branches. We can't do anything without him. It's all about Christianity, is all about the good news of what has been done for us, not what we have to do to get into heaven. That's the beauty. And that's why I'm always, if I'm texting you, if I'm encouraging you, what am I always saying to you? Hey, don't forget grace. Don't forget this about Christianity. It's not advice. It's news. It's news that every enemy of your life, Jesus has defeated. And more than doing something, you need to believe something. So many of us in this room, we've heard that there's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, has anybody ever told you what the gospel is? The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is five things: that he's Savior, that he's healer, that he's sanctifier, that he's baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that he's soon coming king. But if you want to say it without any religious words, here's the good news. Are you ashamed of what you've done? Well, Jesus is Savior from sin. Sorry about that. Are you sick or has someone wounded you? Jesus is deliverer from pain. He's a healer. Are you a mess? Anybody want to raise their hand right now? Just confess in the middle of church. Hallelujah. Are you a mess? Do you feel like life is out of order and chaos and you've ruined it and you've kind of... Well, Jesus is the restorer of your purpose. Believe in him. He'll restore your purpose in life. Are you feeling empty? A lot of us feel empty around the holidays, don't we? Well, guess what? Jesus is the giver of the Spirit. You don't have to feel empty at all. Are you lacking joy? The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. He'll give it today if you believe. And then finally, have you been mistreated? Have you dealt with injustice in your life? Well, guess what? Jesus is soon coming king. And when he comes, justice is done. So you know what? Nobody might be treating you right now. But one day, Jesus is going to set all things right. That's what? Good news. That's really good news. And my big job is not to use it as advice. My big job is to believe it. You know, when I was in college, and welcome back all our college students. Good to see you back, and you don't look too mentally lost. When I was in college, my wife, the story of how my wife and I dated was, I liked her for a long time, and she actually liked me for a long time. But I just thought she was too pretty that there was like no way she'd be interested in me. See, I believe something. And so the story goes, she actually set up a date with me, with my roommate, Kevin. And I thought we were going as friends to help Kevin and his new girlfriend like be comfortable. I actually went out on a date with my wife and then went home and didn't talk to her for a week. And she was like, because I didn't believe she would ever like me and want to, you know, be interested in me. And what I believed affected what I did. I didn't need advice about Sarah. I just needed to believe that she was actually interested. It took us another year to get together because this guy right here, not the sharpest pencil in the box, right here. You know, and that's why people come to me and say, well, Pastor Sean, you know, Christianity, I mean, you got to change. You can't just tell people to believe. I'm like, until you believe, you can't change. So if you want to work on one thing in your life, work on believing. Because if you believe that you can be saved from sin, then you'll act differently than being ashamed. If you believe that Jesus is a deliverer from pain, you won't constantly contribute to it with the way you live out relationships. If you believe that Jesus is a restorer of your purpose, you won't be so frantic and trying to get meaning from small things. You'll be free to actually find his answer. And the list goes on and on. You know, Jesus himself said this. Look what Jesus said when someone asked him, what should they do? In John 6, 28 and 29, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? In other words, from a Jewish mindset, what do I have to do to earn eternal life? And Jesus answered, the work of God. The one thing you've got to do is what? Believe. You got to believe in the one he has sent. The one who the angel said, I've got good news for you. It's not once upon a time. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a good idea. Christmas is not a feeling. Christmas is good news that you and I have to figure out. What does it mean to believe? Because with God, as we heard in this song, nothing's impossible. Not with God. And so Luke 2:10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't that exactly what most of us feel when we think about the things that are wrong in our life? We think fear. We think afraid. But the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And I think the way you live out believing is just tag. Tag, you're it. All right, that's all you got to do. You remember, would you ever play tag and you're so tired of running around that you just got tagged because you're tired of running? You ever do that in tag? It's like, I'm so tired of running, just tag me. Well, you know what? I think those three letters are a great way to remember what believing looks like. Trust, just trust in it. Like if Jesus is your purpose in life, then don't go try to find it in a bunch of other people. Just trust him. Trust him that what he has done, he's going to be faithful to finish in you. Act like Jesus taught. Act like you believe it. In other words, when Jesus said, I came to serve and not be served, well, then live like that. Ah, boys and girls, we're almost done. Hey, all right, here is a good piece of advice for you. During Christmas, you're going to go spend time with your family, right? Most of us, when we get around our family, we tend to get hurt feelings because we see how other people are being treated better than us. Oh, my sister this, oh, my brother got that, or they took care of their kids this way. You know what? Don't do that. Act like Jesus. Go to your family this Christmas and go to serve and not be served. Can I get an amen for that? That's good advice. You should do that. You should go Christmas and think about serving people instead of paying attention to you get served as much as everybody else around you. That's what you should do this Christmas. And then finally, you should get to know Jesus. Just get to know him. So that's why we gave you Right Now Media. Man, you can what you would pay literally hundreds of dollars for conference tickets on, you can go online for free, and every day you can have your own conference with Jesus. Every day. So, yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome. Merry Christmas. Sarah and I, my day off is Friday, and so Sarah, we for lunch, we always do a lunch date, and literally what we do since we've gotten Right Now Media, every lunch date, we finish up our lunch, we talk, then we drive to Thomas Dale to wait to pick up my daughter Kate, and we put on a Right Now Media about marriage, and we watch it for like 15, 20 minutes in our car. And we do that every week. It's not that complicated. Like, you can do that. If there's a place, there's some great teaching on finances, man, you can go listen to that and get brilliant advice and start changing. There are things about healing and recovery in there. If you don't know where to go, if you need to be inspired and uplifted, Circle Makers on there, all that good stuff's on there. There's over 10,000 videos you can watch, and it's good stuff, and it's yours. Why? Because we want you to go get to know the person you believe in. We want you to get to know about this good news that is yours. You don't have to do anything but believe. When you believe, you do surrender, right? Which is the tough part, because to believe means you got to surrender. Like, all right, I'm going to surrender my control, my way. I'm going to do it God's way. Well, let me tell you what. There's good news. And you remember what the name for a messenger was? Angelos, right? Well, I'm no angel, but I am a messenger today. There is good news, a great joy for you. And it starts by getting to know Jesus. Hey, this next week, let's act like Jesus. And you know what? You'll run into the good news all over the place. You'll just run into it if you just act like him. And then just trust. Now, hey, the most important thing you and I need to do is make that decision. Boys and girls, this is a really important part of service right now. So I want you to be praying and think about what I'm saying right now. If you look in your bulletin, I'm going to invite you to pull out your bulletin. There's a section on the inside that says, have you believed in the good news of Jesus? Now, for all of you who have, how many people in this room have been to church for more than 10 years? All right, you really need to pay attention to this because you're the one who's going to miss this, right? You're the one who's heard it too often. But what I want to encourage you to do right now is I want all of us, whether it's for the first time or whether this is something we've heard before, let's make this Christmas not an idea, not a feeling, not a philosophy. Let's say yes to the good news. And so I'm going to read this to you in this moment. I want you to focus on it. So you can read along with me if you want. The Bible says that there are many enemies of your soul. These enemies bring death to us physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and in our community. The gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, tells us that we can have victory over all of them. If we place our faith in Jesus, he will be our, this should sound familiar to you, he'll be our savior over sin and shame. Start again. Deliver from pain and sickness. Have relief. Restore of purpose and peace. Giver of power and joy. And then that soon coming King one, he'll be our leader. He's not just our Savior. He's going to be our Lord. We're going to follow what he says. We're going to surrender to it. And he's the one who's going to bring us true family. And he's the one who's going to bring us justice. We're not going to try to go find it ourselves. We're going to let it bring to us as we trust in him, act like him, get to know him. So today, you can have this good news in your life and find freedom from your past and a new future by simply praying a prayer. That's it. Just with a heart that's surrendered. You know, sometimes we're about to pray this prayer. Let me give you a little pastor moment. Sometimes people will ask me, Pastor Sean, why don't you ever call people forward for salvation? Why don't they have to get up and come forward? And here's my answer. Because you don't have to become a member of this church to know Jesus. The good news is Jesus, not this church. We're all messed up. We all raised our hand for a mess, right? But we've all found good news that we're believing in. And you don't have to become one of us to say yes to that good news. What you need to do is say yes to Jesus. Because not only was born, not only did he live, not only did he die, not only did he rise again, not only right now is he at the right hand of the Father, victorious over all the things we just talked about, but he's thinking about you. And the only thing you need to say yes to is him. You don't have to say yes to this church. You just need to say yes to him, because that's what you need to believe in. And so I'm going to invite you in a moment. I'm just going to read this prayer. And when I read this prayer, as you're listening to it, if you want to make that decision in your heart today, you just, in your heart, just say, yes, God, I agree. Just say it in your heart. Boys and girls, this important moment for you. All my students, important moment. Christian who's been in church way too long, pay attention to what your life is all about right now. Because we believe. We believe in victory. So I'm going to ask you right now if you'd bow your heads and just focus on God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. And if you want to believe in the good news of Jesus, I'm just going to ask you, as you're praying right now, as I'm reading this out loud, you just say this in your heart. Boys and girls, you can say this in your heart today too. Dear Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner who has no power to change on my own. I need you to deliver me from my pain and the sin of my life. Please restore your purpose and your peace in me. I ask for your presence and power to come into my life that I can have a new beginning. Please bring me into your heavenly family and lead me into knowing more of you. Right now, I receive you as my Lord and Savior today. And the whole church said, amen. Can we thank God for his good news this morning? We love you, Lord. Thank you for victory. Thank you for good news, oh God. Thank you for good news in our hearts today. Hey, if you prayed this prayer for the first time, I want to encourage you to either put down on the connection card that you did it so we can send you a Bible and next steps. It's not about our church. It's just about you knowing the good news. Or you can just walk out the doors to the Connection Center and just tell them, I'd like a salvation packet. It's going to have a Bible and some things. Because every time a gift is given, the one who gives it makes sure that you know how to use it. So you know what? What you just began in your heart, God's going to continue to walk with you on. All right, one last thing, because my voice is almost gone. Simple as simple can be. Who needs grace today? Hey, keep it up. Keep it up if you need grace today. Jesus, the good news is not what we do. The good news is what you've done for us. We invite you right now to do something new in us so that grace may win in us, that you have already won and now we'll have your victory. God, we raise our hand and say, we need grace, and we believe that there is good news for us today, for every marriage, family, student, and parent. Amen.